This is Focus West Michigan for Tuesday, July 21, 2026. I'm Joe Bilecki with your local news. Newaygo County's Fremont Public School District is banning two religious groups from operating on campus after a complaint was filed by a parent. WGVU's David Limbaugh has the details.
The Wisconsin-based nonprofit Freedom From Religion Foundation, which promotes the separation of church and state, sent a letter to Fremont Public School Superintendent Brad Rayburn after a concerned parent reported a ministry group had been visiting Fremont Middle School during lunch periods. A second religious group reportedly posted flyers and sent permission slips home with students to distribute Bibles. According to the foundation, the two religious organizations, Net Ministries and Gideon's International, given permission to be on campus interacting with students, quote, constitutes unconstitutional government endorsement of religion, end quote. Following the foundation's letter to Superintendent Rayburn, Rayburn confirmed that both religious groups would no longer be permitted on campus, stating, quote, the Gideons did not end up passing out any Bibles in the district and will not be allowed to return to Fremont Middle School. This was the first time that they were ever allowed in the district, and it won't happen again. The group that came to the lunches was not presented to the administration as this kind of group, end quote. The foundation stated it applauds the district's prompt action to protect students' religious freedom. I'm David Limbaugh.
Michigan-based Bell Tire is being acquired, creating one of the nation's largest independent tire and auto service providers. WGVU's Dee Morrison has more.
California-based Big Brand Tire and Service is acquiring Midwest auto service leader Bell Tire, propelling Big Brand past $1.5 billion in revenue. Founded in 1922 in Detroit, Bell Tire now has 185 locations and 3,000 employees in Michigan, Ohio, Indiana, and Illinois. Big Brand Tire leaders plan to keep Bell Tire's people-first legacy while introducing their own AI-driven operating systems. They say it will streamline operations, boost employee satisfaction, and earning potential. No information was given about potential job impacts, but industry analysts at BuiltIn.com note the acquisition will drive growth by expanding the company's network, pricing power, inventory, and marketing. However, they say Bell Tire may face brand changes and pressure to match the service quality of national competitors. The deal is expected to close by the end of the year. I'm Dee Morrison.
The Grand Rapids Office of Emergency Management gave an update on its three-year-old Community Emergency Response Team program. As WGVU's David Limbaugh tells us, city officials would like to see a more active response to future air quality warnings.
The Community Emergency Response Team program, or CERT, trains volunteers to assist their community with disaster relief. Grand Rapids has offered free CERT training since the fall of 2023 as a nationwide FEMA program with CERT teams in all 50 states.
We are up to about 95 active CERT volunteers since fall of 2023.
Ingrid Shear is an emergency management specialist. She says all three of this year's spring CERT Level 1 classes filled all 75 available seats, and there is currently a waiting list for future classes.
Then they move on to Level 2 if they're interested, and that's where they can become a CERT volunteer. So a CERT volunteer for the city of Grand Rapids means that they could be called upon if an incident arises.
So far, CERT has only been activated once in March 2024 for a water distribution event. But city officials like Mayor David LeGrand would like to see the development of safety measures for future air quality emergencies due to wildfire smoke.
When you have it happen once, you're like, that's never happened in my life. Well, then a couple years later, it happens again and it's worse. You're like, all right, if this is the new normal, this probably isn't going to be the last forest fire in northern Canada that's going to impact Grand Rapids.
Emergency management officials say this type of air quality event will be incorporated into their plans moving forward. I'm David Limbaugh.
Coming up soon, WGVU's Dee Morrison talks to State Senator Roger Victory about what farmers are facing these days, but first, news from around the state. A bill before a Michigan Senate committee would end an exception that allows minors to hide some medical information from their parents. Colin Jackson has more.
In some cases, like prenatal care, Michigan lets minors make their own medical decisions. It's meant to ensure safe care to kids possibly facing abuse or unsupportive families. But Republican State Representative Joseph Aragona says providers have used those exceptions to broadly ask parents to leave during exams. He sponsors the bill to repeal the exception.
It needs to be as easy as possible for that parent to give counsel, to fully understand the facts of what's going on with their child. And unfortunately, through a number of confluence of laws, that's become more difficult.
The bill passed the Michigan House of Representatives last month. I'm Colin Jackson.
Michigan Attorney General Dana Nessel says she will challenge a state appeals court decision from Monday that reversed terrorism charges against men convicted in the plot to kidnap Governor Gretchen Whitmer. We have more from Rick Pluta.
The two defendants were convicted in 2020 of providing material support for an act of terrorism, gang membership, and possession of a firearm while committing a felony. The state's case rested largely on them being part of an alleged kidnapping plot. But in the case of their co-defendant, the Court of Appeals ruled that kidnapping is not a violent offense under Michigan law. That pulled the rug out from under the other charges. The Democratic Attorney General called the reasoning in both cases, quote, linguistic gymnastics that downplays the seriousness of domestic terrorism. Nessel says she is appealing the earlier decision to the Michigan Supreme Court and intends to do the same with this decision. I'm Rick Pluta.
Focus West Michigan is brought to you by listeners like you. To support this show and everything we do here, visit WGVUnews.org and click the donate button. And for a weekly dose of news right to your inbox, sign up for the WGVU newsletter. It's a challenging time for West Michigan farmers. Canadian wildfire smoke is grounding millions of pollinators, and the cyclospora outbreak has people wary of consuming fresh produce. WGVU's Dee Morrison spoke with Ottawa County grower and state senator Roger Victory about what farmers are facing.
We're dealing with some extremely heavy smoke today in West Michigan from the Canadian wildfires, and you had an unexpected effect happen in your farm. Can you tell me a little about that?
Yeah, this morning I woke up and like, wow, this is really thick. I know we heard a little bit about to the north yesterday, but that definitely the smoke has come right here in West Michigan. And So I was out to one of our squash farms, and we lease beehives. We have a professional pollinator. And I thought, I wonder what's it doing to the bees. Well, there was literally 10 pallets. So put in perspective, probably, quite a number of bees. And typically on a morning, while the squash is in its full bloom like it is at this time pollinating, it was like a super highway of bees. You don't even want to get within 40 feet of the hives. And this morning, I think I saw one bee kind of poke its wings out of the hive, flew a few feet, and went right back in the hive. Not one single bee was out working today, and it should be hundreds of thousands of bees just in probably 100 acres of squash that should be being pollinated. And that's just one farm. And you can see the multiplier effect throughout all West Michigan and throughout the Midwest, as we're hitting that critical pollination time, not just for the squash, winter squash, or like the acorn, buttercup, and spaghetti, but also the pickle production we have going on, all those zucchini squash production, and those type things. So hopefully we'll clear out, because that could be detrimental to our yields come this fall if we miss that critical pollination window.
A day may not make a difference, but two, three, four, however long this may last. What is the big concern with a more ongoing smoke issue? Yeah.
Well, hopefully we can clear it out. But if that stays at this level, we're just not going to get any bee pollination going on. And that could affect our yields or even availability of the crops going into the fall. So I know we had a situation a few years ago. I wasn't able to monitor specifically in our fields, but I do know some of the summer squash producers had like a 1 week period of time that their production dropped considerably because they did not get the pollination. So yeah, we can get by 1 day or 2 days, but when that squash is blooming and it needs that pollination, it's not going to hold off because it's smoky out or not. Hopefully some wind starts blowing and some fresh air, but this is intense. Even for our field workers, it's hasn't been easy with the heat, smoke. It seems like I don't know what pestilence is going to come tomorrow, but so far it's just been quite an amazing ride this week with extremes.
The life of a farmer, right?
That's 100%. You never know what you're going to wake up to the next morning to. And I did not expect to see this type of haze. I mean, it just like hit me like a wall. I haven't been doing good with it, but definitely report the bees cannot operate and they can't do their job. So they're on a work break right now, and they should be busy doing their job.
For your farm specifically, how many acres?
Yeah, squash production, we do probably around 600 acres. So, and that some of it's in pollination stage, some of it's not in pollination stage at this point in time. And then we also do a lot of root crops, red beets, turnips, rutabaga, and parsnips. Celeric, sorry, red. Now, those crops don't need the pollination, but they sure do need a refreshing shower of water. And those crops, that's why we grow them in the Midwest here in Michigan, because typically they like cooler weather. So they're a little bit doing rebelling, just like the bees are, not because of smoke, but more from the heat.
We're talking crops, so let's switch over a little bit and talk about a growing concern in Michigan about the cyclospora parasite that's believed to be coming from some type of lettuce or salad green. We don't know exactly the source. So how is that kind of uncertainty affecting our Michigan producers?
It's critical to have confidence with our consumers. So one aspect is, like, if you're going to your local farmer's market, you know directly where you're getting your product from. For us today, too, with the new FSMA, that's the Food Safety Modernization Act laws. Also, we have USDA inspectors that's monitored and implemented through MDAR, the Michigan Department of Agriculture. We have inspection process, and we also have, we call, because of the size of our operation, traceability. So every field is identified, every package. So let's say currently I'm in the red beets field and they are harvesting red beets. You might even hear some equipment in the background. So when these red beets come into our packing facility, they know what field it came from, what day it was packaged, and that 25-pound bag, wherever it might get shipped out to the eastern half of the United States, it might be going to Florida, it might be going to New York, or it might be going to Grand Rapids area or Detroit. It has a tag on it. It has a barcode. So if there's a traceability issue, knowing how it was shipped, they can come notify us and go right to the field, and that's how we can address these issues quicker. 20 years ago, we never had those methods in place, and today we do have that, and that's a useful tool as if we have an outbreak, like we have some health issues, getting it back to the source.
I was out, just anecdotally, out to dinner with a table full of girlfriends the other night. Normally, we're all ordering salads, and everybody shared pizza. So,
yeah, well, it's shipped, yes. And I would like to encourage folks, if you're going to your local farmer's market or even some areas, you should be able to look at the, you know, find the bag of that there and have some certainty over it there. And there again, don't be afraid to ask where it's from. But that's where, again, sooner we can find and identify the source of it, and then we can put confidence back in the system, because this is a complex system and this is a lot of additional cost to the growers, but it's a cost that is needed to give confidence to the consumers for that traceability and trace back, because otherwise all the growers are affected by it. So the key is isolate it, find the source, and knowing that's the source, and then give confidence to the, you know, the consumers and to your dining experience that you don't have to worry about eating pizza. You can actually eat some healthy, nutritional salads with confidence because you know the sourcing is not from where the potential contamination or issue could be from.
To use a farming analogy, you know, one bad apple can spoil the barrel, and you don't want everybody
I could not have said it any better. So, you know, we spend thousands of dollars on our food safety systems here. You know, we have dedicated personnel for it, along with our colleagues. Purpose of that there too is give confidence to the to our business model, because otherwise, if there's an issue with one item and it might be sourcing from California or might be sourcing from Mexico, everyone has to pay the price. But hoping to get some reports and sooner the better on the leafy green issues, because we have a lot of Michigan producers right now. Our neighbor is in the lettuce production, and they are running their operations good and clean. Good operation on it, and they shouldn't have to suffer with concerns from the consumers. So that's why I'm hoping that we could get this pinpointed down. It is a complicated system, but the tools are there, unlike 20 years ago. It's important that we're actually talking about it, because we want to make sure that here in Michigan, we're producing a healthy, nutritional food source to our Michiganders and throughout the Midwest, because we have a very unique opportunity here and our special climate we have in Michigan to produce these products and reassure our consumers that, you know, we're doing the best we can on it. Also, I encourage, you know, don't be afraid to visit your local farmer markets. Buy with confidence, because you know who you're buying it from, and enjoy those experiences.
I'm Dee Morrison.
This has been Focus West Michigan from WGVU for Tuesday, July 21, 2026. I'm Joe Bilecki. Our audio operations manager is Rick Bierling, and our news and public affairs director is Patrick Center. Don't forget to like and subscribe, and we'll be back with more news and events in West Michigan tomorrow. Thanks for listening.